Barclay Asphalt Limited, formerly Templeton Paving. Morning, Julia.
We're going to do a bit of a tag team here. Tony's going to kick off the presentation, and then I'll finish it up with some more details.
Julia has to get the machine running for me. But anyway, what I want to do is take a few minutes and just talk a little bit about sand mining and non-tidal waterways of the Commonwealth and the little bit of the background and history of our involvement in these issues, a little bit about an overview of the current status of sand mining operations in the state, and then go over what we view as a permit process that we'd like to follow with these projects. And then Juliet will follow that up with the two cases that are on your agenda today. And as you recall, back in February of this year, we presented five sand mining cases to you for what was then Templeton Sand and Gravel. They have since traded under the name of Boxley, and so that's why you see them on your agenda today as Boxley. But at that meeting, although two of them were approved, the commission had a number of questions. And as you might recall, then Associate Commissioner Plumlee had some concern about getting too far ahead on this issue. He had some questions, and I think felt that the commission needed a little more maybe background and information on how we would handle these cases as we move forward. What you see here on the slide are the locations of the sand mining projects in the Commonwealth. Department of Mines, Minerals, and Energy issues permits for every sand and gravel mining operation in the state, whether it's on land or in a river. There are 29 projects, though, that historically are located in portions of rivers in the Commonwealth. And you can see most of this is the southwest part of the state, east of the Blue Ridge, but south of Interstate 64 and out of Tidewater, Virginia, the non-tidal waterways. Of those 29 projects, as you can see here in the red and the orange, there's 17 projects that appear to us to require authorization from the commission as we move forward in this effort. Several projects have been permitted, and several projects are basically inactive. They aren't mining. And several projects, six I think it is, were no permit necessary required back in the 80s when we were trying to get these permitted and reviewed. Those projects were determined not to require a permit because they were subject of a King's Grant claim. At that time, information was shared with the Attorney General's office that was provided by the applicant, and it was agreed we would not take jurisdiction over those projects. Whether or not we see similar claims for any of these other projects in the future, I guess we'll find out as we approach others. So really, what we're dealing with here is these 17, looks like we'll be dealing with these 17 sites as we move forward with the permitting for the project in the Western part of the state. I do want to point out that back in the 80s, the commission became aware of these sand mining operations. We looked into ways to try to deal with it. The commission even thought that we could possibly allow just the Department of Mine, Minerals, and Energy permit to suffice for approval of the Commonwealth. We pursued that at the commission staff and pursued that option. That didn't work out. And so we realized we needed to issue permits for these projects. And in 1987, we entered into a memorandum of agreement with the Department of Mine, Minerals, and Energy, and a copy of that is in your packet, which basically was an agreement with them that they would notify operators that our permits were required, let us know when permits were required or when they were issuing permits, and then hopefully we could get these projects that were in rivers in the western part of the state under BMRC permits so that it authorized them to be on state property and using state property for the mining operation. We started reviewing a number of applications. Some permits were issued, some were not, and it appears that we ran into some problems with necessary conditions, potential royalty issues. There was some concern about that, and we had some claims of ownership. As a result of some of those issues being unresolved, no action was taken on some of the applications. The problem kind of went away. It just fell off the radar screen. Unfortunately, the gentleman we were dealing with in the Department of Mine, Minerals, and Energy passed away, and there was no close coordination with the Department of Mine, Minerals, and Energy, and that really kind of lapsed. As part of this effort recently, Juliet and I went and met with the Department of Mine, Minerals, and Energy up at their office in Charlottesville, the fellows that run the mineral mining operation for the state. They agreed that while the memorandum agreement is a number of years old, it goes back to the 87, it's still valid, and they acknowledge that they should be working with us to identify these projects and make the operators aware of the need for them to have our permits. And one of the stipulations of a DMME permit is the right of entry onto the property, whether it's a private property owner they're mining on and they have the lease agreement for the private property, or in this case, they have the permit of the state to be on state property to do the mining as a right of entry. And they recognize that that was a factor that needed to be considered as we move forward. So to make a long story short, we will continue to work with them on these efforts and bring those items to the commission as we work through the projects. I should point out that no new mining operations have been permitted in the last 20 years or so. So we were dealing with this back in the 70s or the 80s and early 90s, and we were dealing with older projects and ongoing projects. And really, there are no new projects that have come to light that would have required DMME to let us know anyway. And so these are all historic sites where sand accumulated, and it was economical to acquire that sand and then use it mostly for asphalt in the Commonwealth. Sand, to make asphalt, has to have certain properties in terms of the size and voids in the sand and the roughness, and I'm sure the folks who deal with this can tell you a lot more about what's required. And so this sand is a unique commodity in this part of the state because it's not as much sand. It's in the rivers. It's not like down here in the eastern part of the state where you can go a lot of places and mine it from the land. It's just not as readily available in this part of the part of the Commonwealth. So no new mines have been permitted in state waters for 20 years. And really what we're trying to do is get back on track, get those permitted that it appears require permits or are still operating, and get everybody up to date on all their permits. This is just a table of that map showing you where the 17 sites are by county and how many are in each county. Some of these sites, it's a few hundred cubic yards of sand has been removed in the last 5 years or so. Others, it's several thousand. So it varies, but the amount that's removed from year to year also varies. And these companies have been, based on our looking at the data, diligent in submitting their reporting requirements to DMME. They have to submit a tonnage report on how many tons they remove from a stream. We think in cubic yards, so we convert that figure to cubic yards, and we talked about how much material is removed. But anyway, that just shows you the counties and the rivers we're talking about. So with that said, if you recall, at the February meeting, we laid out in our evaluation some process that we thought we could follow for the projects at hand that day, as well as moving forward. As a result of the commission action that day, we've tweaked these things of TAD, and what you see here is the process we are following for the two that are in front of you today as a result of the prior commission action, and what we view as the process we'd like to follow or procedure we'd like to follow with the remaining projects as we move forward for review. And so what we have here is that as we have found out about these projects that permits have lapsed or never got permits for whatever reason, we're going to go back to those folks in concert with DMME and notify them that, okay, we need a permit. You need a permit from DMRC, or we need to determine that you don't require one because you have a claim to the bed of the river, which we think we might see in some cases anyway. So we'll initiate that process on future projects. We'll get a joint permit application, hopefully, and then we will begin our standard public interest review. And as you can see here, that's going to be a request for agency comment. That's going to be a notification of the adjacent property owners. And I should say that the DMME permit, when they issue their permits, have notified the adjacent property owners. And that's part of their review as well. Many of these sites have been around for years and years, so they don't issue new permits. But they do issue renewals annually to allow the mining operation to continue. I do not think that renewal process requires a new notification of property owners. So we might have had people move into the area or move adjacent since the original permit was issued, and we might hear from neighbors, as we have in one of these cases before you today, which is going to be here in a few minutes, about the project. But anyway, that was part of the original approval by DMME, was to consider adjacent property owner input. And we will do a public notice, just like we do for all local, all projects. This will be published in the local paper soliciting comment. As part of this review, we're going to get input from agencies, mostly Department of Game and Inland Fisheries. They historically have had some pretty significant comments, some strenuous, some regarding certain species, endangered species, or sensitive species that might exist in these rivers and how to deal with those. So we'll have to work through those comments, work with the mining operations to reach an agreement on how we will protect those resources. And if we can get commitment from the operators and Department of Game and Fisheries on the permit conditions, we'll be in good shape. And so we would not have to bring those before you as, and assuming we have no protests, we wouldn't have to bring them all before you as a commission. We could just deal with it administratively. There might be cases where we have protests or where we have agency comments that the applicant does not want or can't agree with, and then those might end up or would end up before you. So if we can get to the point where we issue a permit, our proposal is that we issue a permit for 5 years, and then after that five-year period, they have to come back and get a new permit from the commission. This is a little bit different than a permit where you build something or you authorize construction, and we have a permit period in it to build that feature, and it gets to stay there forever as long as you maintain it. In this case, they're mining continually in the river or every few years. And so our permit would be for a specific period of time, allow that activity to occur, and they'd have to come back after 5 years and get another permit. And that would allow us to reassess environmental conditions, issues that might have come to light during the permit process that need to be incorporated into any new permit. We would assess a one-time royalty for take out in any 1 year for that five-year period. This, we hope, would avoid some of the controversy regarding the notion back before where we would require an annual royalty, which led to some concern by the dredgers or the miners about paying that every year. It's hard to bill that every year. They don't always remember to pay it, and so that presented some problems. Not to say there aren't projects where we shouldn't have annual royalties, but we felt in this particular instance we're better off with the one time. Now, the next item was a result of commission action in February that they felt that because these companies had mined previously and it wasn't under a permit, that there should be some back royalty for the previous five-year period. And so this process here suggests that there would be a back royalty for the previous five-year period. Now, for the two projects approved for in February, the company agreed to pay that, and they've executed those permits. Whether or not you want to have any further discussion on that issue is up to you. Whether there'd be some max amount on that, I don't know. Or whether we look back at just the previous year. We've looked back at the five-year and looked at the max that they removed in any 1 5-year period for the royalty. That data is there based on the DMME report, so we can use that. Now, what we would not recommend is that we assess a royalty if they haven't mined in the last 5 years. for back royalty. Because we do have some projects that, while they're still on the books with DMME and they might want to get permits for mining in the future, there's been no activity at those sites for 5 years. Now, and also during the commission action in February, it was felt that maybe a civil charge should be assessed, and a $1,000 civil charge was assessed for the two projects that we permitted. And we've put that on the permit process here, that we would assess that as well. And if you keep that in, and the operators that we deal with going down the road agree to that $1,000, then we wouldn't have to come back to you, I don't think, because you would have endorsed that for these types of projects as we move forward. They might not agree, and we would be here before you if they don't agree to that. In addition, we have suggested that, or we are suggesting that, again, if a project has not mined and has not operated at that site in the previous 5 years, that we not assess a civil charge in that instance, and that we could just move forward with the permit, provided we can satisfy any permit condition recommendations that might be made by another agency as part of our public interest review. So that's the history. That's the process that we would like to, you know, utilize as we move forward with these projects and on these two projects that we have before you today. So with that, try to answer any questions you might have, or we can just turn it over to Juliet to go through the two projects that are on your agenda, and that might, again, also generate some discussion and questions for you as well.
Well, let's discuss what you're proposing here at this point. Dr. Neal.
There are 17 sites that need permits that we know of, we think.
That's correct.
There were 19. Is that, I mean?
There were 29 sites historically authorized by DMME and the Commonwealth for mining from rivers.
Okay, but we took care of two in February.
Two in February. Some have King's Grant claims that we felt was legitimate, so we NPN, no permit required for those sites. And then some are inactive.
All right. So the two sites we did last time are both Boxley.
That's correct.
And the two we're talking about today are both Boxley.
That's correct.
How many of the remaining 15 are Boxley?
None that I'm aware
okay,
of.
Okay. So we'll be done with Boxley. All right. The we did assess back royalties, basically saying they've been mining for decades, whatever it is, without proper permits. And we did a one-time back royalty assessment.
Correct.
Now, that was for each site?
That's correct, yes.
And then the $1,000, we also did a $1,000 civil fine, again, for all the decades of past mining without the proper permits. And was that per site or was that per company?
That was per site.
So, okay. All right, that was really my question.
Does this look like the proper way to proceed with these issues?
It looks consistent to me.
Yes.
I see heads nodding here. Does anybody disagree that this is the proper way to move forward? All right. Well, we have a game plan for here on in.
That sounds good. We'll see how it plays out.
Right. Thank you.
All right.
Very much, Tony.
With that, I'll turn it over to you today.
All right. As Tony said, this the company was formerly Templeton Paving, LLC, and they have since changed their name to Boxley Asphalt. And today, they're requesting authorization to dredge by drag line between 100 and 3,500 cubic yards of sand per year from state-owned submerged land at their Otter No. 2 site in the Big Otter River in Campbell County and at their Rivanna Kent site in the Rivanna River in Culana County. The Campbell County site is protested by an adjacent property owner. So this is a map showing all of the Boxley locations. The two in green are the ones that the commission permitted in February. That was their Joppa Mill site and their Hayden's Bridge site, both located in Bedford County on Goose Creek. They have closed. There was a fifth site also in Bedford County on the Big Otter River. It was their Otter Anderson site, but they have since closed it, so it's no longer a mining site. There are two remaining, which is their Otter No. 2, which is located in Campbell County on the Big Otter River, and the Rivanna Kent site, again on the Rivanna River in Fluviana County. Generally, these operations are located in rural areas on undeveloped stretches of the river, and Boxley, in both the cases of the Rivanna Ken site and the Otter No. 2 site, they lease the land from a private property owner for the mine. Both of these operations, both of the remaining operations, have active DMME permits, but they do not have active DMRC permits to take sand material from the Sebaquia sites of the Commonwealth. And just a quick reminder, these operations came to staff's attention after the Department of Environmental Quality actually received a complaint from Bedford County's Division of Natural Resources about a different operation. It was not a Boxley operation. However, DEQ followed up on the complaint, had some coordination with DMME, and found out about the other active operations, and that's how Boxley came to our attention. DEQ had coordinated a lot of the initial correspondence with Boxley, and ultimately we had a site visit that was conducted on August 2nd of 2012 at four of the five Boxley sites. We did not visit the Rivanna Ken site just because it wasn't easy to get to. So today, Templeton's operations require renewal of previously issued DMRC permits and action on a pending one. So just generally, I'm going to go over how these operations work. The sites are generally mined 2 to 4 times a year, and a single dredging cycle takes between 2 to 4 weeks, depending on the amount of material present. The material is dredged using a drag line, which operates from a bank. The drag line casts a crane-suspended bucket into the river. The bottom is dredged, and then it's pulled up the side of the bank with the bucket and the material. Material is then stockpiled in the upland to dewater. After the dewatering process is complete, the material is loaded into a front-end loader, which you can see here, into a portable dry screening plant that separates the material by size. The sand component is separated and trucked to Boxley plants for use in the asphalt pavement mixtures. The oversized material is actually these rock berms that are constructed along the riverbanks. These berms redirect surface water runoff into settling basins or through stone filter berms for sediment removal before discharging back into the river. After dredging, the riverbanks are revegetated to stabilize the banks until the next cycle of mining at that particular site. So the first of the remaining Boxley sites is the Otter No. 2 site in Big Otter River. In Campbell County, excuse me. The original DMME permit for this site was issued on March 6th of 1975. In 1991, Marvin B. Templeton and Sons submitted a JPA to BMRC for a BMRC permit. However, it was never acted on, and the file remains pending. Boxley leases the land for this site. This site is actively mined. From 2009 to 2013, the annual volume in any given year over that five-year period was 4,879 cubic yards. And I just want to make a correction. It was I had a lower amount listed in the evaluation, actually. That's just the final value. They mine along approximately 880 feet of riverfront. There's a primary site, which includes this area here, and then there's a secondary site further down the river. However, that secondary site hasn't been mined recently. They prefer the primary site. This particular site is protested by the adjacent property owners, Ms. Mylene Abbott and Mr. Keith Little. In their opposition, they cite environmental issues with flooding, erosion, and downriver impacts to their property. And they also cite issues with or cite concerns over the aesthetics of the operation on the river. This is the plan view drawing that was submitted in the joint permit application, and you can see these blue hashed mark areas. These indicate the areas of where they're dredging. This is their primary site here, and this is their secondary site downriver. They have highlighted two areas where they conducted profiles for the cross section, and these are their cross sections. Profile one is upriver, and profile two is the one slightly downriver. The green is the bottom before dredging, and the red is the bottom after they dredge. And at this particular site, they dredge about 6 to 10 feet of depth to get to the material that they need. I'm going to go through now a series of site photographs that was taken at the August 2nd site visit. And just for reference, when we visited this site, they had just finished mining on July 28th, so fairly recently before our site visit. This first photograph on the top left, is looking downriver along the primary dredge site. And this bottom photograph on the, on the bottom photograph on the right is looking in the upland at the material that had just been dredged up. This photo was actually taken by staff at DEQ. These photographs were taken in the area of the dredging. This is looking downriver, and you can see where the bank has been revegetated after their previous mining operation. This is looking upriver at the area that had just been dredged, and you can see it's the material has been dragged up the bank, so there's no vegetation growing yet. And then this is looking basically straight down, and you can see the line between where they had dredged and where they hadn't dredged, and you can see it in the waterway as well, where that footprint of the dredge was. So the agency comments for this site, the Department of Game and Inland Fishery documents the presence of the Roanoke log perch in this area. They recommend a time of year restriction on all dredging from March 15th to June 30th of any year, and they also recommend coordination with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service given the readily endangered status of the fish. The Department of Conservation and Recreation also documents the Roanoke log perch in the area. They too recommend coordination with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service as well as the Department of Game and Inland Fisheries, and they also recommend a time of year restriction on work from March 15th to June 30th. Their comments also included recommendations for implementation and adherence to stringent erosion and sediment control measures. The Virginia Department of Historic Resources found the project acceptable, and the Department of Environmental Quality waived permit authorization or permit requirements because the project qualifies for a regional or nationwide permit with the Army Corps of Engineers. So the second and final site of Oxley is the Rivanna Kent site in the Rivanna River. And I just want to point out, because this will become pertinent when I discuss the agency comments, this is the Route 6 bridge, and the project is located just about 500 feet upriver from the Route 6 bridge. The original DMME permit was issued on February 1st, 1977 for this site. This site had previous permits from VMRC. In 1991, under 91-0235, a permit was issued to Marvin B. Templeton & Sons. This permit expired in 1996. And in 2005, Marvin B. Templeton & Sons submitted the JPA for another permit. However, this request remained pending and no permit was ever issued. Again, Templeton leases this land from a private property owner, the Scenic River Ranches Owners Association. This site is not actively mined. The last time the site was mined was in 2006. They mine along approximately 200 feet of riverfront from tree line to tree line. There were no protests for the public interest review for this site. However, staff did get a comment from the landowners. On February 18th of 2014, staff received a comment from the Scenic River Ranch's owner's treasurer, Mr. Doug Wiley, and he called to talk about the requirements for VMRC permit and the associated royalties. Mr. Wiley felt that a VMRC permit should not be required because the mining operation has existed for so long, and he felt that an annual royalty associated with the VMRC permit would reduce the amount of money the owners association would receive through their lease of Oxley. Again, this site was not visited, so there are no site photographs, but we do have the project drawings for the site. This is the plan view, and again, the blue hashed area indicates the area where they dredge. And again, this is the profile one and profile two for the cross sections. And these are the cross sections for the site. Again, the green is the bottom post or pre-dredge, and the red is the bottom post-dredge at those two particular cross-sectional areas. Here, they're going to dredge about 4 to 4.5 feet to get the material that they need. Agency comments for this site: the Department of Game and Inland Fisheries documents the presence of state-threatened green floater and Atlantic pigtail mussels, and the existence of these species, as well as the endangered brook floater mussel in the James River, which is just about almost 2 miles downstream from the site. They recommend a mussel survey and relocation prior to each dredging cycle and a time of year restriction from April 15th to July 31 and August 15th to September 30th, protective of those mussel species. They also document this area as a potential anadromous fish use area and recommend another time of year restriction from March 15th to June 30th, protective of anadromous fish. The Department of Conservation and Recreation documents the presence of the green floater and the yellow lance mussels, as well as the federally endangered James Finney mussel in the waters near the project area. They recommend a mussel survey and relocation, as well as implementation and adherence to stringent erosion and sediment control measures. They also recommend coordination with Department of Game and Inland Fisheries and U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, given the status of the mussel species. Department of Conservation and Recreation also noted that this section of the Ribana River is designated as a state scenic river, but they said as long as the dredging site is not expanded and the existing buffer remains intact, they have no concerns regarding the scope of the project. The Department of Historic Resources found the project accessible, and this site has an active Virginia Water Protection Permit from DEQ. It was issued on January 30th, 2006, and this permit will expire on January 29, 2021. Finally, the Virginia Department of Transportation provided comments that say that VDOT is undergoing Route 6 bridge improvements. That was the bridge I pointed out at the beginning. They're going to be widening it, and the mine site is directly adjacent to their work site. So they said their work site will be active from January 2014 through October of 2015, and there will be limited access. So they requested that Boxley coordinate with a point of contact to gain access to and from this mining site. I wanted to throw up this slide. This was in the previous presentation. This kind of summarizes the four sites that Boxley has. Again, their Otter Anderson site, they have since closed, so it's no longer up for consideration. The Haynes Bridge and the Joppa Mill sites were both permitted in February. Those permits will expire in February of 2019 using the five-year permit period. Otter number two in Rivanna, Kent, they are the remaining ones to be permitted. And the associated royalties, they reported $3,500 as the maximum amount they'll remove from the Otter number two site. And the associated royalty is $1,050. For the Rivanna Kent site, since this is not actively mined, they provided a cubic yardage of about 100 cubic yards, which would result in a royalty of $30. And this is just to have an active permit there in case they would like to mine. They understand that if they would like to mine this site and they need to exceed 100 cubic yards, they would come back for a permit modification. So moving into the summary and recommendations, Foxley's mining sites have been in existence and operational for several decades. It's unclear why the VMRC permits lapsed at the existing box site, but it's likely a combination of factors that included changes in ownership over the years, the initial interest review in the 80s and 90s with some permit conditions that were recommended, as well as the annual royalty payments being problematic. Boxley has been very responsive and very cooperative throughout this entire process through the JPA process, as well as executing their recently issued permits and quick payment of their civil charges and royalties. They have also voluntarily adhered to DGIF's recommended time of year restrictions and VDOT's coordination recommendations. Staff is sympathetic to the protestants' concerns about the environmental and aesthetic impacts of the project. However, the Otter Number 2 site has been active since 1975, and there does not appear to be any issues with flooding or erosion over the last 29 years. While the Scenic River Ranch's Owners Association has expressed concern regarding the need for VMRC authorization for the Rivanna Kent site, and sand deposits would be mined from state-owned bottoms, and a VMRC permit is required. Staff would like to point out that this site has previously had permits from VMRC and been subject to royalties. Accordingly, after evaluating the merits of the projects against the concerns expressed by the opposition to the projects, and after considering all of the factors contained in 28.2-1205A of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends approval of the projects as proposed using the five-year permit procedure as outlined in the addendum that is attached and based on the following conditions. Adherence to a time of year restriction from March 15th to June 30th of any year at both mining sites, protective of endangered Roanoke log perch and anadromous fish. Adherence to a time of year restriction from March 15th to June 30th of any year. Agreement to conduct mussel survey and relocation at the Rivanna Kent site prior to each dredge cycle or as specified by DGIS. And subsequent adherence to time of year restrictions from April 15th through July 31 and August 15th through September 30th of any year protective of the mussel species. Agreement to cooperate with the Department of Game and Inland Fisheries on any monitoring efforts at their mining sites. Installation of erosion and sediment control measures consistent with mineral mining regulations and construction specifications for perimeter dikes and outlet sediment traps or minimum design and implementation standards as described in the Virginia Erosion and Sediment Control Handbook, 3rd edition, 1992, to contain runoff from the dredge material stockpile area. Agreement to no additional bank clearing or grading at the project site, and all dredge equipment shall operate from the bank on the landward side of the perimeter berm to be constructed at the top of the bank. Agreement to provide documented proof that the restoration of the site is covered under the Minerals Reclamation Fund through Department of Mines, Minerals, and Energy, an agreement that no more than the permitted number of cubic yards will be removed at each site annually. Staff recommends approval of a five-year permit with a one-time royalty of $1,050 for the Otter No. 2 site and $30 for the Ridana Kent site based on the reported yearly maximum volume removed at a rate of 30 cents per cubic yard. While staff does not recommend the assessment of a civil charge, the Commission, however, at their February meeting assessed a one-time civil charge in the amount of $1,000 for two of Boxley's permitted sites. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions, and the applicant is here and represented if you have questions for them.
Thank you, Juliet. There are questions from the Commission. Mr. Erskine.
Juliet, I was wondering about the mussel survey and relocation. Who conducts the mussel survey?
The applicant would have to coordinate with, there are specialized people in the field that do that. DGIF has a list of approved mussel survey companies.
And that would be, once the survey is conducted, and I'm assuming that's an abundance survey of how many mussels, I guess, are there, that would be a physical relocation of those mussels?
Yes. Yeah, they would physically go in and take them and relocate them. And DGIF provided guidelines. They have to relocate them. I believe they have to look 100 meters upstream and 400 meters downstream, I believe, is the span of which they have to survey. And then any mussels found in those areas have to be relocated to suitable spots. And the people who are certified to do that work know what they're looking for when they do that.
I see. Okay. Thank you.
Dr. Neal.
Basically, I'm referring back to the proposed permitting process. Under that proposal applied to these two sites, one of these sites would be subject to a one-time $1,000 civil penalty and a one-time back royalty. And the other site would not. Is that correct? Because one site was active in the last 5 years, and one site has not been.
Correct.
So if we approve the permits through the proposed thing, we're assessed for one site a back royalty and a civil fine. And that's if we accept that whole procedure as the way we're going to go with these.
And that's what we propose.
Thank you, Juliet. Is the applicant represented?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. It's good to see you again. Sorry to keep dragging you back.
That's okay.
Do you hereby swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, and the testimony you're going to give today? So help you God. Thank you. Please state your name for the record.
I'm Larry Bullock, and I just want to thank you for granting us permits back in February. And like I mentioned, at Boxley, we purchased Templeton Paving back in 2011. And we're here to do the right thing and comply with everything that Juliet said when she came up here. So we appreciate it.
Any questions from the commission? Mr. Erskine.
In one of the conditions, there's an agreement that no more than permitted number of cubic yards will be removed. How do you all determine that? Do you determine that, or is that done by a post-dredge survey, or how is that determined?
We survey.
You survey after the dredging? I see.
I mean, like the drag line bucket is so many cubic yards, and then we actually survey the sand as a process.
I see.
That's how we come up with it.
Okay. Thank you.
And then, Tim, you report when we pull out the rest of the yeah, we report it now.
Okay. Thank you.
I have a quick question. Do you have any comments or suggestions, and are you okay with what the staff's recommendation is to the commission?
I'm fine with it. You know, like last time when we were here, I was hoping we wouldn't get a civil penalty, but I certainly understand that, and I know it's a minimum, and we understand that, and we're okay with your recommendations.
Okay. Any other questions from the commission? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
This is a public hearing. Does anybody wish to speak either in favor or against this project as proposed and this permit application? Seeing none, the matter is before the commission for discussion and action. Dr. Neal.
I guess I'm going to make a motion. My first motion doesn't apply to these two particular permits. It's just to accept the recommended procedure for the future mining permits that staff has recommended and as presented.
All right. Well, let's have a vote here on recommending the path forward here. We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Dr. Erskine, by Mr. Erskine. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any noes? That motion passes unanimously.
Okay. Now, I guess the follow-up to that would be to approve these two permits with the stated conditions of time of year closures and the mussel surveys and the other conditions stated by staff, and along with the $1,000 civil one-time civil fine for the one active site and the one-time back royalty assessment for the one active site over the past 5 years.
For clarification and simplicity, basically you're motioning to approve the staff recommendation in its entirety.
Yes, except as presented, the one staff recommendation when they were talking about the two sites said that they did not recommend a $1,000 civil fine, although the overall procedure did call for that.
Okay, so the motion would be to include the civil charge?
Yes.
Of $1,000 for each site?
Well, for the one site.
Well, for the one site.
For the active site.
I stand correct. Does everyone understand the motion?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a second on the motion?
Second.
Second by Ms. Haney. Any discussion? No. Matters before the board. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you, sir.